So, good afternoon. First of all, thank you very much for inviting us to come here. I think this is a great opportunity to ask us some questions. We did a lot of work on both as a starting in Senator Kennedy's committee, and also Senator Harkin was one of the champions of a lot of the prevention public health pieces in health reform. We talked a little bit about some of the prevention public health funding that I wasn't going to get into so much, but it's an important factor to consider that a lot of the resources that are going to be made available for a lot of programs like 317 are going to come from the Prevention Public Health Fund. We spend so little on preventive care and spend so much on health care, and why can't we focus on really transforming our system from a sick care system to one that really promotes health and wellness? And we all know that immunizations play a very tremendous, a significant role in that sort of transformation. So talk a little bit about some of the insurance forms we did as part of health reform, the Affordable Care Act. It's also the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, but that's a little long, so we generally refer to it as the Affordable Care Act. One of the things that we did that was really important is looking at clinical preventive services as part of the individual and group markets. So essentially any new health insurance plan since September of 2010 is required to cover recommended preventive services without cost sharing, co-pays or deductibles. Coverage of preventive services at a minimum shall include vaccines recommended by the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, services with an A or B grade from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, and services recommended for children and youth by the American Academy of Pediatrics and Health Resources Service Administration. Essentially, this is the Bright Futures guidance. And I think this is really important. One of the things that we really focused on is providing those preventive services. First of all, coverage is really important. We know that when you have an individual who's really strapped for cash, even a very small cost-sharing requirement is going to prevent them from actually, you know, using the incentive. If you have to pay food or you have to pay for gas, you're not going to spend even that $10 to get your clinical preventive services. So it's really important that individuals get these clinical preventive services, but it's first dollar coverage. Talked a little bit about some of the expanded immunization in private insurers. It's estimated that 88 million new beneficiaries will receive this benefit by 2013. This includes 78 million beneficiaries in new group health plans, and also 10 million beneficiaries in new individual plans. So this is a significant an access to a benefit. There is additionally 98 million currently enrolled in group health plans also eligible. So you all know that in some insurance plans, these benefits are actually covered, but they may be offered with the cost sharing. So it's important that this is a benefit that is, again, offered without cost sharing. And then first dollar coverage among FHB plans for federal employees. Participating plans in 2011 were asked to eliminate the cost sharing. So this is really important. And I think one of the things we also sort of continue to emphasize is this is the basement. This is the minimal coverage that we think is acceptable. And I think one of the things we hear a lot about is, sort of rationing care and, my doctor, politicians making the decisions for me. And I think it's really important. That's why we really focused on the expertise of such entities as ACIP and the USPSTF, so that really the people who are in the clinics that are doing the research really understand, what are the benefits and how do they make those assessments, rather than us sort of spelling out the details. We want to make sure that those best practices are supported. Additionally, there's clinical preventive services as part of the private public insurance, Medicare and Medicaid, a free annual wellness visit and personalized prevention plan for Medicare beneficiaries that include, at the minimum, vaccines recommended by ACIP, again, sort of A and B is the USPSTF, and health risk assessments based on medical and family history. So this is, a lot of the there's a welcome to Medicare benefit that when you come in, you kind of have a lot of those clinical preventive services. We wanted to make sure that, our elderly are continuing to access those services. There's first dollar coverage so they can come in annually. They can get the recommended vaccines. They can get the cognitive assessments. They can get all those sort of pieces. And that it's something that we encourage. You want to, a lot of the welcome to Medicare visit isn't well utilized. So we want to make sure that, number one, people know about it. Number two, that they're using it. And finally, we weren't able to get a whole lot of parity with Medicaid, which is unfortunate, but increased federal financial support, which is also known as FMAP, for states offering preventive services recommended by the USPSTF and ACIP without cost sharing to Medicaid beneficiaries. Again, this is really sort of focusing on that adult population because EPSDT provides a lot of clinical services for children. So this is a population that really gets left out a lot of times. And unfortunately, we had to make a lot of difficult decisions, and this is something that we would have liked to be able to create parity because we feel feel that what's available in the private insurance, what's available in Medicare should be available to those who are Medicaid beneficiaries. But unfortunately, it was one of those things that we just didn't have the political support for, which is unfortunate. But we continue to struggle. Finally, strengthening access to immunizations. We already talked a little bit about this. Reauthorizes the 317 program to provide immunization services for priority populations. Again, the Prevention Public Health Fund provided $100 million for Section 317. So again, this is a support. This is the $15 billion over 10 years to really sort of focus on providing a greater investment in prevention and public health. Also, in the Affordable Care Act, provided authority to states to purchase adult vaccines with state funds from federally negotiated contract. And that is a benefit that's currently available. We're trying to get some information on if people are actually using this or not, and we're still unknown at this point. But, you know, hopefully this is something that you all know about and something that could be a benefit to your own programs. Finally, requiring the Government Accountability Office to examine Medicare beneficiary access to recommended services under the Medicare Part D benefit. So I think... I talked a lot about the insurance reforms, and having those benefits is very essential in providing those services. But at the same time, we know that there's going to continue to be a need for a lot of the programs that really sort of focus on the vulnerable populations, that really sort of focus on providing access to those who may not have access. You know, we work, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, we talk a lot about sort of the rural providers, and even if you individuals have insurance, you know, always getting access to services is always a problem. How do you continue to build that? Safety net is something we hear a lot about. This is a kind of a moving vehicle, and it's all sort of unfolding in front of our eyes. We're not really sure where this is going to end up. So we want to make sure that we continue to focus on the people who are going to have affordable access, affordable insurance, make sure they have access, but at the same time, just continue to ensure that the safety nets are still there. We know that there are a lot of people who weren't included in health reform that are going to continue to need these benefits. So it's not something you hear us talking so publicly about because we don't want to necessarily sort of highlight the issues that, you know, that we need to focus on the a lot of the talking points are, you know, well, if everyone has health insurance, then what's the need? We know there's very much a tremendous need, and we continue to fight for the continued access for those who don't have access to affordable insurance. Some closing thoughts. So Affordable Care Act made significant investments in prevention, public health, wellness, and chronic disease management. I think one of the unsung stories of this whole health reform is such – all the tremendous investments that were made in prevention public health. It's not something you hear a lot of. If this was a bill that was passed on its own, I think it would probably be the biggest investment, the biggest movement in prevention public health. There's a lot of things in there. A lot of people are starting to hear a lot of the benefits, really thinking about ways the federal government can engage in health and all policies type of activities, a lot of community prevention programs. There's a lot of things in there in addition to some of the insurance reforms we did. Immunizations are an important clinical preventive service with well-known health benefits and significant cost savings. One of the challenges that we had during debates of the Affordable Care Act is even though we knew that a lot of preventive services, you know, help sort of prevent chronic disease, help reduce health outcomes, it's just one of those things that we weren't able to get the Congressional Budget Office, which quote-unquote scores legislation, to score as a savings. So because it was so far out, you know, the benefits are much further out. So a lot of people look at this, well, this is an investment that we can't make because there's not immediate returns. But we know that's just not true. We know that we need to really sort of focus on ways that we continue to articulate the importance of, you know, clinical and community preventive services. How are those services really going to continue to transform the nation to a wellness society where people have better quality of life, but also, you know, as an added benefit, will reduce the cost of healthcare, which is becoming significant as we move on. Another piece is consumer education is needed to promote awareness and utilization of recommended immunization benefits. A lot of people may not know that these benefits are available to them. It's always a challenge in making sure that people, number one, know that the benefits are available to them, but number two, that they actually use them. How do we work with providers to say, hey, you know, this benefit is available to you, use it. You know, how do we incentivize those behaviors, and how do we sort of have it come from the consumer side also and say, you know, I know that these are benefits that are now available to me, can I have them? So it's about, you know, both incentivizing providers and also incentivizing consumers to be able to ask for those services. Again, sustain and strengthen initiatives to provide immunizations to children and other vulnerable populations. It's important that, you know, we sort of focus on the safety net providers. It's important that we focus on that access piece. It's really, really, really critical. We don't know how this is sort of going to unfold, and we think that the Affordable Care Act is going to have tremendous benefit for a lot of people. But again, there are a lot of people who were not included in health reform, and we need to continue to provide those services. Anyone who says that this is sort of a waste of federal investments, I'd like to say eventually you're going to pay for it. People are going to show up in emergency rooms. People are going to show up in more costly care. So it's really important that we understand that this is all part of the system and that we continue to promote on those particular factors that really promote health and wellness in the first place. So that's the end of my presentation. I'd like to introduce Dr. Engel.